don't say that it's not factual.
What?
I know, right?
Since when do you care about facts, Mike?
Only when they get in the way of my opinions.
That's right.
This is the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast with your hosts, Andrew Laird, Mike Gottlieb.
Hello, everyone. It is Wednesday, April 1st. This is no joke. This is the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast, and we are coming at you. And it is beautiful outside now, much better than the rain than the snow that we've been having recently here in the New York metropolitan area. Along with my regular co-host, Andrew Laird, I am Mike Gottlieb. We are the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast, and this is week 31 of 38. Hello, Andrew. How did you enjoy your international break?
It was a nice, relaxing time. There's, you know, there 31 weeks is a long time, and we still have, you know, plenty to go. But it's nice to get a break every so often and actually be able to enjoy soccer without having to analyze every little thing.
Yeah, and I went to the second installment of the New York City FC franchise, their second home game, which was, of course, a loss. But the fan sections are starting to get more organized, emphasized on starting. But hopefully that gets – hopefully that improves more and more. But it's a lot of fun even if the games aren't. That game was not exactly exciting, but sitting in those sections makes it very exciting.
Yeah, you missed being at the game. You missed the wonderful commentary, how they were talking about the – how narrow the field is, and that it opens up the possibility for throw-ins to be headed in. And literally 5 seconds after they make that point, Beisler throws it in, and Ike Opara heads it in for the only goal of the game.
Yeah, and I was actually looking at the food vendor that was coming down the aisle when that happened. So I actually did not see any of the goals live, even though I was in person. All right, but this is not an MLS podcast. Let's get into our Premier League podcast. Normally, we've been going all straight into the fantasy stuff. We'll actually do a little more of a storyline to get you caught up with any kind of news that happens, and then we'll get into some of our picks for fantasy. We'll incorporate our rankings, which are posted on rotowire.com/soccer. And at the end, we have our DraftKings lineups that we're going to be sharing with you at the end. So stay tuned for that for sure. But let's get started. Possibly the best matchup of the weekend is Saturday, April 4th, 7:45 in the morning. That would be 1:45 in the morning Hawaiian time. So just keep partying and stay up and watch. We have Arsenal at home at the Emirates playing against struggling Liverpool. Not necessarily from points-wise, but Liverpool are going to be without Daniel Sturridge. They're going to be without Martin Skrtel, and they're going to be without Steven Gerrard. That's a good spine of a team that's not going to be there against Arsenal, especially when you go to the Emirates. What do you think?
I'm not sure how much Gerrard was really going to play anyway. I think Brendan Rodgers is getting very comfortable with the lineup that he has without Gerrard in it. I mean, they went on this winning streak when he was out with an injury, and then he came back and ruined everything against United. They're 5 points back of United right now, so even 3 points at Arsenal still, you know, keeps them two back, and that's, you know, before Man U plays, who do they have this week? Aston Villa at home. So,
yeah,
you know, they've got plenty of work to do, but they definitely need the 3 points.
Liverpool need to keep pace.
Yeah. I don't know if Sturridge has 100% been ruled out. I think he's only 90% ruled out, but it'll be interesting to see.
It's Daniel Sturridge. Nothing ever heals quickly.
Well, that's certainly true. But like I said, they need the 3 points. And, you know, obviously that's short-term thinking, but you know, we're 30 weeks in, so, or, you know, this is the 31st, so they need some results now. But it'll be interesting because all the talk has been recently about Raheem Sterling not signing this new contract that they've offered him. He's looking for a significant raise, and they want to give him one. And, you know, how these things work out, the player always wants more than the team wants to give him. And what I've been reading is that part of the reason he's hesitant is that he hasn't had a clearly defined role at Liverpool, where he actually wants to play more as a striker, which is kind of interesting for how small he is, but they play very well with him up there.
Let's be clear. Everyone wants to be the striker because everyone wants to score goals. Well, even goalies want to score goals.
Well, sure, but he's sort of in a position to, I don't want to say demand that, but he's shown that he can do it. And, you know, at 20 or 21, whatever he is, and for how much he's been able to produce, you know, he obviously feels like if he can lock up that role, then he wants, you know, he'll want to stay even longer. But it'll be interesting if they put him in that role if Sturridge sits, as opposed to bringing on Balotelli, or I doubt they play Lambert or Barini. So I don't know. Liverpool need this a lot more than Arsenal. Not that Arsenal are comfortable in third. They're only, you know, they're 1 point ahead of Man U and 1 point behind Man City, but you know, they're six ahead of Liverpool.
It's as tight as the championship race.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I think Liverpool need to go into this thinking they need 3 points, and I'm not sure Arsenal necessarily think that they need three. And that's a horrible way to go into a match.
I think this is the perfect spot for Arsenal. Arsenal love this spot. What they'll do, they'll score very Arsenal-y goals. There'll be an excellent attack generated by Liverpool. They'll either hit the post, or someone will make a great save or a great defensive play. Then they counter with the speed that they have up front, and then they get an easy goal on the counterattack. And especially because they're at home, they can definitely set up a little more defensively and just, you know, and either get the one or get the 3 points on the counter. I think this is the perfect situation for Arsenal, and that their beautiful passing game can actually take effect, especially on the counterattack. So it may not be the prettiest Arsenal win, but it'll be one of the more effective, I believe.
Yeah, I get that. I think Skrtel's absence is a pretty big one. Not that he's the kind of player that's going to keep up with the speed that Arsenal can throw out wide with Sanchez or Walcott. Welbeck's a little iffy, but even if he plays. But he's an important piece of that back three, which...
Yeah, as an Arsenal fan, you have to be thinking this is the perfect time to play Liverpool, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But again, I think Gerrard's absence is one that essentially could be ignored. I'm not sure he was making a big enough impact anyway. And Jordan Henderson is clearly taking a leap right now. So I think of the three, you know, it's probably Sturridge. I think Sturridge is the biggest absence, and then Skrtel.
All right, so give me your goal prediction here. What's your score prediction, and then who's going to score? Who's in the best position to score goals?
I'm going to absolutely say that Olivier Giroud is probably the top option. You know, he's playing better than anybody. He scored for France over the break, so you'd have a very tough time convincing me that anyone has a better shot at scoring in this game than he does. And I assume that it's going to come from some sort of Ozil play, whether he gets the actual assist or just sets up the play. But you know, he's in just excellent form right now, and I think he's going to have something to do with the two goals that they score. And the second one, I'm actually hoping comes from Alexis Sanchez, just because I feel like it's been a long time since he's you know, done anything significant outside of the peripheral stats. So I'd like to see him get on the board.
And on the Liverpool side, do you think they score?
Yeah, I definitely do. I have no faith in a clean sheet on this one, and I think it's going to be some sort of set piece that actually will end up at Henderson's feet, and he'll put it in. One of those.
You're saying Jordan Henderson?
Yeah, I don't think it'll be. I think it'll be one of those Arsenal-y plays where a ball goes in, and pretty much everybody loses track of it, and it just lands at Henderson's feet. You know, he scored this goal three or four times this year. That, you know, he's at the right place at the right time, and he blasts one and just gets through everybody. And
so I was thinking you were going to say Felipe Coutinho, because over the last 4 weeks he's had 14 shots on goal, I believe, or 14 shots at goal.
Yeah, I think he'll take plenty of shots, but I think those golazos that he tends to have are come at Anfield, where they will not be this weekend.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean, especially because Coutinho is going to play the number 10 role now. Likely will play in the number 10 role because Sterling will move up, which means that he moves up into the role that Sterling was in previously.
Yep.
So when you've seen Coutinho at his best, it's been in this kind of formation.
Yeah. Absolutely. And he's a very dangerous player all the time, but certainly in this number 10 role.
Yeah, and I'm wondering what the defense is going to look like, who they're going to roll out on Liverpool for defense this week. Because it's going to without Skrtel, I don't know how – I don't know if they can go with the back three, do you think?
Yeah, well, if they do, then we're looking at Sakho, Chan, and Kolo Touré, I guess, which
– Well, what about Alberto Moreno?
Well, they don't usually play Moreno as like a – you know, they basically like the three center backs there. They'll throw him out wide, so
Could Joe Allen be an emergency center back? This is what I mean. Their options are thin. Their options are very thin back there.
Yep.
I don't think Kolo Touré has the pace. If you think Martin Skrtel struggled for pace, Kolo Touré struggles even more for pace with these guys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think they'll get blasted if he starts.
Yeah. All right, so definitely interesting to see in that aspect as well. But that's one of the best games of the weekend. We'll move on to one of the worst, which is Leicester City at home against West Ham. In this game here, I see it playing out very heavily in West Ham's favor. I know it's a real limb that I'm climbing out on here. But Diafra Sakho left it late 2 weeks ago to score for West Ham. But he's looking better recently. And I like the way, and I think this is a game where you can see the three, like the big three that we've had, that we've been talking about from West Ham, Diafra Sakho, Stuart Downing, and Aaron Cresswell all do well this week. What do you think?
I think you could probably throw Enner Valencia in there. I think he's due back from his toe injury. So I'd have no problem playing any of them.
So you have no problem with all four of them? And what about, so do you feel that, well, let's go straight to score predictions here, because I don't think there's much to talk about from Leicester City end. I mean, Jeff Schlupp, maybe, but there's really not much to talk about from Leicester City other than Kasper Schmeichel has returned in net, but I don't think this is a good matchup for him. Do you think?
No, I think, you know, West Ham have struggled pretty significantly, but they still have plenty of offensive firepower, so I don't see how Leicester keeps track even after they scored. But was it three goals that they scored before?
Correct.
Yeah. I'm not a believer. I feel like those goals tend to be pretty fluky. And so from a fantasy perspective, I'm staying far away from Leicester, even though they're at home.
Yeah, and you can still get good pricings. We'll get to it later. But this is not the last you'll hear of Diafra Sakho, I can promise you that. like I said, the value is probably going to be way too high to ignore him this week. Also in season-long leagues, so he's probably dropped down in value. So you might even have someone who's dropped him just because they got frustrated. Definitely look to pick him up. Definitely start all of your West Ham options here. Final score prediction from me for this will be West Ham 2, Leicester 0. What do you think?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Perfect. So that means Adrian, even the goalkeeper, can get a start here.
Yep, I'd consider it, definitely.
Absolutely. All right, we'll move on here to Swansea City at home against Hull City. These are the 10 o'clock games, just like Leicester and West Ham. So Swansea has been playing defensively well, especially at home, like we always tend to say. But Hull City has been playing offensively very well, even on the road, even at Chelsea. So for me, I actually see this more of a game, especially because, like I've said many times, Swansea have a tendency, once they feel that they're safe, to kind of go on vacation early. Hull cannot say the same. At least they can't go on vacation yet. I actually see this more as an opportunity for Hull than an opportunity for Swansea. And because of that, and because of the desperation, I actually see Hull taking this game, actually all 3 points.
Wow.
So I actually will go out on a limb for Hull. They call it an old favorite.
Yeah.
But they are playing better recently, especially offensively. They are scoring goals. And Steve Bruce is really a hell of a manager. The Premier League would be hard-pressed to find a better manager that gets relegated if that actually happens.
Yeah, they're only three out of relegation.
And correct.
So obviously three more gets them significantly more clear. I completely agree with you about Swansea. More so, I mean, they're at 43 points right now. They're obviously staying up. They're not even close to Europe. They're 10 points back of Tottenham and Southampton, who are 6th and 7th. And so, you know, they're, just like you said, they're kind of, they have every reason to coast from now on. And so I think what I struggle to say that Hull are going to go in and grab 3 points at Swansea, but I do think we'll see goals in this one. And it's not, you know, what I'm really hoping for is the return of Mo Diame, which I've been saying, I feel like, for 6 weeks, but it sounds like he was getting, you know, he was supposed to return after the international break, and this is after the international break. So I'd love to see him back. If he does play, you know, I think you could see multiple goals on both sides.
Yeah, that's the only reason why I didn't rank him in our rankings this week. I really wanted to, but I have I think it's less than 50-50 that he plays. I think it's probably 40-60 that he plays. And if he does play, I think he actually doesn't start. I think he comes off the bench.
Yeah.
I think they ease him back in.
Yeah,
but
they should.
If we do find out that he starts, this will be a late addition to my lineups. I love Mo Diame in this spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially with the development of Dominic Njoy.
Yep.
I think they can work very well together.
Yeah. And Abel Hernandez is starting to look a little active. And which is good since Yelovich is still out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they have pieces, certainly.
Yeah, so well, someone we ranked highly, at least I think Chris and I did for the rankings, is Kyle Naughton, the defender for Swansea.
I think it was you and I, actually.
Oh, you and me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we don't think there's going to be a ton of goals.
Well, I actually kind of liked Naughton. We had originally picked on, meaning chose, was because he was, you know, sending in some crosses early on, and those have kind of dried up. But if you're going to play a defensive option from this game, he's it. And so, you know, the more we talk about this, the more I'm regretting where I ranked him.
Yeah, exactly. Me too, kind of.
You may have talked me out of it, yeah.
Yeah, I may have talked myself out of it. But Kyle Naughton and Lucas Fabianski has been a popular pickup this week, at least in terms of the ownership numbers for DraftKings, Mondo Goal, and others.
Yeah.
Do you think that on paper at home against Hull in, you know, lots of previous weeks looks very good? Do you think that it's a safer pick this week than, let's say, we'll get to this later, but do you think it's safer than a Kelvin Davis on the road for Southampton?
I definitely ranked Fabianski higher. The issue that I have is Hull on the road. They've struggled on the road. And so, you know, I'm trying to look here now. They were blanked by Stoke, blanked by Leicester, and they scored one at Man City. Those are their last three on the road. So, you know, maybe the Chelsea outpouring starts them up, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, the international break came at the wrong time.
Sure did.
But, I'm still going out on my limb here. I still think Hull take all 3 points with a 2-1 win. What do you think?
I'll probably go the opposite, 2-1 for Swansea.
Man, you are just talking around in circles.
I am. I really am.
I was shocked you didn't say 1-1. I thought you were going to go 1-1.
I guess I'd.
Nope. You already said 2-1
Swansea. I really struggle saying, yes, I think Hull City can win on the road.
Well, they call that my upset of the week then.
Yeah.
But we'll go, which means that Swansea's going to kill him 3-0. And Hull will get a second-minute red card. Right. It'll be awesome. All right, Man United at home against Aston Villa. Man United, a very popular team this week in the rankings and people's picking up. Do you see anything other than a multiple goals to zero victory for Manchester United? Is this a game, for example, where Man United really show that they are a legitimate team for Europe next year? Because basically they've been like Italian football. You lose to them, but you really don't know how. And other than Juan Mata's scissor kick goal,
yeah,
which of course was part of the way that you dominated me in the EFs, the matchup that we had last week. Those two goals from Juan Mata really crushed me. But you don't really know how you lose to Man United because they seem to get by on the hairs of their chinny chin chins.
Yeah, I hate to put too much into the result from before the international break when they won at Anfield, just the Juan Mata Bowl, because they, you know, going down to 10 men completely changes that game. And so, you know, it's not like they earned getting 10 men. So,
They earned getting 10 men. Gerrard deserved it.
Oh, well, he absolutely deserved it, but it was more.
But it wasn't a bogus red card.
No. I don't know. What's weird about this game is that when I was doing my rankings, I'm looking at the Man United players that I ranked. And at the beginning of the season, if I told you pick one forward and two midfielders that you would play from Manchester United, you'd probably go RVP, Di Maria, and I doubt you'd take Mata, but theoretically you could take Mata or, you know, Ander Herrera. You know, at the beginning of the year we weren't sure how these guys were going to play out. We probably knew that Mata was going to get dropped for Di Maria, but now we're looking at Rooney instead of RVP, Mata instead of Di Maria, and Fellaini instead of whoever the third one was. Like, this is not the team we expected United.
Well, I was saying it a few weeks ago even that Fellaini at the 10, number 10 role behind Rooney makes the most sense. The styles of play that both of them like serve each other very well.
For sure.
Especially because Fellaini has also been playing well defensively, too. He's been an absolute beast in the middle of the midfield.
Yeah.
So it seems like Louis van Gaal, after 30 or let's say 29 weeks of the season, has actually figured out what his best 11 is. But the worry that I have is, does it include Juan Mata? He got kind of like a spot start last week, and he happened to do the most with it. Or 2 weeks ago, excuse me. Do you think Mata starts again?
Every time he starts, I say, I don't know why he doesn't start more often. So I think he absolutely should start. They are able to play him and Di Maria together. Like, I'm not sure why.
Yeah, Mata can be on the left and Di Maria can be on the right. With Fellaini in the middle. Yeah. In the three part of the 4-2-3-1.
Right. That's exactly what you need. And yet, I feel like every time Mata does something like this, Van Gaal throws him right back to the bench. And so yeah. I just don't have enough confidence that they're gonna play Mata, which obviously is pretty poor for my EFSA team.
I mean, when you did start him, it happened to work out, and it happened to work out against me, which I'm sure made you feel extra good about it.
Always.
But how about a score prediction from you?
I will take 3-1 United with a goal from Benteke.
On the Villa side?
On the Villa side.
And what about the Man U side?
I will go Rooney, Mata, Fellaini.
I will go 2 Rooneys, and I will go 1 Fellaini, and I will go 2 for Villa. One for Agbon Lahore, and one for Scott Sinclair.
There you go.
Why not? It's not because I was looking at the Aston Villa lineup and wanted to pick someone not named Christian Benteke, but
Benteke scored against them earlier this season.
Yeah.
Which was one of their – they scored, and then he scored that goal.
His wonder goal of the season, and he didn't score again.
They didn't score again. That's what started their 7-game scoreless streak or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. And who did they break that streak against?
Chelsea.
The most likely of sources, Chelsea. That's right. So I think it's 3-2. You think it's 3-1. So we both think it's going to be over 2.5 goals. So definitely if there's an over-under at 2.5, which is typically what the number is, we say go over. Mm-hmm. All right. So we'll move on here to West Brom at home against QPR. QPR, one of the two teams that has a double week this week if you do a weekly format. QPR being one, and you're going to have to remind me of the other one. Villa. Aston Villa being the other. Yes, we just talked about them. So we segue on nicely here, or not nicely because I messed it up. But QPR and Aston Villa, the two teams with two games this week. But West Brom are at home against QPR in QPR's first game of the week. This game, I don't see much scoring going on. And because of that, Boaz Myhill becomes a tremendous value in both daily and in season long. If you haven't picked up Boaz Myhill, you're probably too late because I was recommending it before the Manchester City game that you do it and just sit him against Man City. But if you didn't sit him against Man City, he did get you 14 saves.
Yeah.
He did let up 3 goals, though. But that's definitely an aberration. Most teams don't shoot 42 times in a game. It just doesn't happen.
QPR was also – West Brom were down to 10
down a man.
90 seconds into the game.
Yeah, it was pretty gross.
Yeah.
Hopefully that does not happen to them a second time here. But West Brom and QPR here, I'm not thinking there's much scoring. What do you think?
Do you think there's any scoring?
I think there's enough quality to have some scoring. I just don't know if there's enough consistency from said quality to predict who it would be.
All right, Mike Pence. Is there a goal in this game? Yes or no?
Yes, I do think there's one goal in this game.
Because I was going to say, if you think this one is scoreless, Robert Green is more of the value than my head.
No, I do think that Berahino or Brownie Day got a goal.
Okay, they're both a little banged up, but
yeah,
they've been banged up for weeks and they keep playing. So
yeah, and they've just had a break.
Yep,
they both didn't do anything.
Yep. Yeah, so. As much as I love Charlie Austin, I don't see them breaking through on this one, even with a backup goalie. So,
as long as West Brom stays with 10 men.
Exactly.
West Brom at home, Tony Pulis at home, you know they want to get that 1 point.
Yep.
At least.
At least, yeah.
So you can't lose if you don't let up a goal.
Yep.
That's the Tony Pulis mantra.
Yep.
So I do think West Brom do and I think QPR actually have to open up because they're getting relegated right now. They must get 3 points, which means you can't get 3 points if you don't score.
Yeah, they got to attack. Absolutely.
So they got to attack. West Brom love that. because they'll try to defend, and then they can hit on the break, which Berahino any day have proven to be good at doing.
Yep.
So pick one of the two. I'll say Brownie Day. You'll probably say Berahino.
I would definitely take Berahino over E Day.
All right. So if they both play, which is unlikely, but if they do both start, I'll take E Day and you'll take Berahino. And if obviously one of them start, take one of those guys. But Julian Lescott, is he your defender to have for West Brom still?
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty...
He's playing outside now. He's not playing center back.
Yeah, but it's still not...
He's not
waiting into too many crosses. Yeah, so he's basically playing as a center back, just happens to be on the outside. But yeah either Lescott or Dawson, I think, were the two options. Wisdom is gone, so...
Would you play Matthew Phillips this week? For QPR?
Yeah,
let's say just this game. Obviously, yeah. When you get credit for both games, you're probably going to want to take him.
Yeah, I think the nice thing about Phillips is that because he crosses the ball so much, you get points for that. They don't need to score for him to have, 10 crosses, which is 10 points on DraftKings. So, not every format gives you a point per cross, though. So, be wary of that. But I wouldn't, because... As we were just saying, they have to attack so much. I would have no problem playing them.
Mm-hmm. And so would you rank – who did you rank higher this week, Charlie Austin or Sato Berahino? Well, obviously you probably ranked Austin higher for the two games. But if it was just this one game, Austin, Berahino?
I would probably go with Berahino.
Okay. That's the same thing with me. I would do that as well. Obviously with QPR having a second game and Aston Villa having a second game, it inflates the values of guys like – for Villa, Sinclair, Benteke, and then for QPR, Phillips and Charlie Austin.
Yep.
All right, but we'll move on here to Everton at home against Southampton, a game that's important to both teams if they have any aspirations of Europe. I mean, obviously Everton can't get to Europe.
No.
But Southampton, if they want to stay in the European contention, they really need 3 points here. Everton, it's a team of two cities here. Everton can't play defense, and Southampton struggle at scoring at times. Which tale do you think plays out here? Everton not defending or Southampton not scoring?
Everton not defending. I have full faith in Southampton's attack, whether it's Sadio Mane, Dusan Tadic. I even believe in Graziano Pelle. I IM'd you earlier when he scored against England. I said, Pelle scored, and you said, yeah, it's for Italy. I said, but he scored against England. So I think he could absolutely get off the top of your head, if you're not looking at the table right now. Do you know how many points Everton are behind Southampton right now?
I want to say something like 16.
19.
That's close.
19 points back.
And Everton just got knocked out of Europa.
Yeah, they're 9 points out of the relegation zone, Everton. And it's just a dismal season for them. And what's weird to me is every time Ross Barkley does something good, everybody talks about how great he is and he should be playing more and he's the next, one of the next great midfielders for England.
And the transfer talk about him is insane. It's how Manchester City and Chelsea are going to be bidding $30 million
for him. Yeah, and yet he can't even get regular starts. Like, I'm not sure why Martinez doesn't play him as much as as everybody feels like he deserves to play. I mean, I realize he's young and all, but
so the way,
there are plenty of guys younger than him that are getting plenty of playing time.
What I've read is that he doesn't – he likes to have the ball too long. He holds on to the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He has moves. He has speed. He has power. There's a reason why he wants to hold on to the ball, because he can do something with it. I understand. But Roberto Martinez wants to play that quick passing, that tiki-taka, if you will. One touch, two touch, maximum –
yeah.
And then pass the ball along. Ross Barkley doesn't do that very well. That's what I've read. I haven't seen every Everton game that he's played. My guess is that there's a middle ground that needs to be found if he's going to stay at Everton.
Mm-hmm.
But if they can get $30 million for him, I think it's a perfect time to ship him off. What do you think?
No, absolutely. And frankly, I'm not sure if they really need to keep Kevin Morales around either, because he's sort of in the same boat. And
well, he's not lower money total.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure.
He's older too.
Yep. But
and not English, because a homegrown talent.
Well, which sort of makes him more expendable, right?
Who?
Morales.
Yes. Morales. I don't think ever since that penalty that he took away from Leighton Baines, I don't think he's going to be on the team next year.
Yeah.
You can't just step in front of the captain of the team like that. You just can't do it. But you know, I don't care how good you are. That signs your ticket away. I also think he's better suited for another country. So I think he's better suited for like the Italian game.
Yeah, I think we went into the season thinking that those two were going to be the ones to keep them in the Europe, you know, the Champions League discussion. And both of them have been awful.
Yep.
Certainly from a
fantasy. Yeah, it's a partner up with Romelu Lukaku.
Right, yeah. I mean, this was going to be an elite scoring team that just wasn't.
Well, they've scored a decent amount. They just can't defend at all.
Yeah.
I mean, they have three, you know, defensive midfielders that have just not held up their end of the bargain in James McCarthy, Gareth Barry, and Bezic, Mohamed Bezic. And it's frustrating to watch them play all three at the same time because they are not threats going forward.
Yep.
And they can't defend. They can't shield the back four. So what are they doing out there?
Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah. So that's what Everton season's been this year.
Yeah. Nothing. So
all right. So for final score predictions for this game, I have 1-0 Southampton. What do you have?
2-0 Southampton.
Goals from whom?
Mane and Tadic.
I have Shane Long.
Yeah, you love Shane Long.
I think if he plays, Everton can't defend speed.
Yeah.
John Stones has a little bit of pace to him, not ton. Whoever the other center back's going to be, if it's Jags,
it'll
no
be Jags.
Speed.
Yeah,
no speed. Even Leighton Baines has lost a step, but so those three defenders not having a lot of pace, Shane Long has more than enough.
Yeah.
So couple that with Mane, or if Elia gets a start, or Tadic, James Ward-Prowse, even if he gets a start, he can ping balls through that defensive four, mm-hmm. no problem.
Yeah.
I think Shane Long's the perfect matchup against Everton.
Okay.
And on the flip side, I think Pelé plays right into the Everton defense if there is a way to do it.
Right, because he just holds up.
He just holds the play up.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the way I see that playing out, at least. But I do think there'll be under 2.5 goals in this game. That's for sure. We both do.
Yeah.
So not a ton of scoring and mostly just Southampton, which means, by the way, since we both predicted clean sheets, Kelvin Davis is actually a decent play.
Yep. Yep, I think he's definitely – I ranked him. I think I was the only one, actually.
Yeah, I was tempted to, but I wanted to get Myhill his credit. Right.
But you thought Coastal Pantilimon.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I do. We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
So we have the last game of Saturday. It's the 12:30 game. It is Chelsea at home against Stoke. I'm very biased, but I believe that Chelsea will run all over Stoke City. Stoke really don't have much to play for now. They're safe. Chelsea at home, they want to make sure that they maintain their lead. I'm not going to say it's going to be the prettiest of games because Stoke don't allow that. But I do think that Chelsea muscle out, let's say, a 2-0 victory here. The questions that I have for you, especially because this will pertain to a lot of fantasy owners here, is who plays up front for Chelsea this weekend? Because Diego Costa still has that hamstring injury. He's been going under extensive treatment. They are optimistic, but there's also the yellow card issue that's looming. What do you think is going to happen up front for Chelsea? Because this will also play out for the storyline of the game too.
I think it's absolutely Costa. I think all of this recovery is just nonsense, that he isn't really that hurt at all, and that it just got him out of international duty, and that he'll start, he'll score, and they'll smash Stoke. I think it's any thought that he's not going to start is silly.
And when you say smash Stoke, what do you consider the scoreline for smashing?
I would say 3, and I would not go crazy if somebody said they thought it would be 4.
That's a Hulk smashing. I'm going to say 2-0, because Chelsea tend to just stop playing after 2-0. It's shown many times.
That's fair.
But I'll say 2, and I'll say that Costa or Remy, whoever starts up front, gets 1. And Hazard will get a penalty.
Mm.
What about you? Which is lower in terms of fantasy production, a penalty goal versus a regular goal, but
is it
still? Yeah, it is.
Well, maybe
in some formats, yeah. I think usually it's a couple points less for a penalty goal.
Yeah, I think Costa and Hazard are definite, and I would even throw Oscar in there. And you could convince me that Fabregas would get it on the action too.
A goal,
maybe.
I think he'll get an assist.
He may pass one right into the back. May get a Mesut Ozil.
he'll pass it right into the back of somebody else. That's what he'll
do. Well, maybe, yeah.
All right, but let's move on to Sunday's games here. We have Burnley at home against Tottenham. Tottenham desperate to try to stay in that contention for Europe next year. Hopefully, do you feel, first of all, before we get into the game, do you feel that going to Europa is a poison pill?
I understand why teams wouldn't want it, but I think the draw of getting into the Champions League now should be reason enough to do what you can to win. Obviously, Everton really struggled this year with it, but Tottenham have been able to at least maintain pace. I'm not sure they would be significantly higher in the table if they didn't have those Thursday matches in, you know, Kazakhstan. So, no, I don't think it is.
Yeah, you just have to get used to playing Thursday, Sunday instead right. of Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into the game here. Burnley need to get out. They need to stay out of relegation. They really need – well, they don't really need 3 points. They could definitely get 1 point here and be okay. Tottenham, do you feel that they want three here? Like they're desperate for three?
They have the benefit, sort of benefit of – I don't know if it's actually good or not now that I've said that – of seeing the other results, like the teams that they're competing with, essentially Southampton, Liverpool, and Man United are all playing before them. So, you know, they'll know how many points they need to keep pace, obviously, yeah. with Man United.
And by the way, Villa, QPR, Hull play before Burnley.
Right, right. So –
and Leicester.
Yeah. What I thought was interesting in this one is that nobody ranked Hugo Lloris, who could miss out, actually. He's apparently his knee injury, you know, is leaving him quite questionable. But nobody ranked Vorm either. I mean, Tottenham at Burnley. Burnley's not exactly an offensive juggernaut.
No, but they play better at home.
Sure, but you know.
Everyone plays better at home.
Yeah,
I understand.
It's just
Turf Moor is a weird place to play because it's so small.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't rank them or any Tottenham defenders because I'm just done with them.
Well, yeah, it's hard enough to trust Tottenham at home. I mean, we've gotten burned by this many times, especially with Mondo goal because they had Lloris priced so low. Yeah. We take the bait every time.
Every time. Ugh.
And it doesn't work every time.
I'm done. Never again, Mike. Never again.
Until the next time you play Mondo goal and you take him
no.
anyway.
No.
All right. But how do you see this one playing out here? I'll let you go first with score prediction.
I'm going to say it's I was going to say 2-1, but I kind of feel like this is the kind of game that goes a little bananas and that Tottenham end up pulling it out 3-2 with like an 89th minute winner from Harry Kane.
Oh, you know what? That brings me up to my next point here. Another question I wanted to ask. I just forgot. In terms of who would you rather have going forward? Let's say Wayne Rooney or Harry Kane. Let's say if you were starting a franchise.
I would probably take Rooney.
Okay.
If I was actually starting a team.
So do you feel this meteoric rise for Harry Kane, including his 79 seconds to score in his first ever appearance for England, do you feel that his rise is this really who he is, or is he going to regress back to a mean?
I don't know. Because this is so much better than I think anybody ever expected. I think the better question is not Kane or Rooney; it's Kane or Sterling.
Who do you take? Kane or Sturridge?
Sturridge's injury issue.
Well, but Sterling doesn't play the same position. Like that's kind of
he wants to. He thinks he does.
Yeah. Okay. Joe Hart probably wants to play striker too.
But I'm not saying that. If you were starting a team, which one do you start with, Kane or Sterling?
Pass. we've had this discussion before over the break. Actually, I would if I was starting a franchise, I actually wouldn't start with a forward.
Well, yes,
I would. So for me, all right, let me explain myself. So when I want, well, I feel the most important position in real life. It doesn't translate to fantasy, but the most important position in real life is that central midfielder that can control. Both offensive and both the middle third of the park. If the ball, if he's around the ball in the middle third of the park, good things are going to happen. So a guy like Modric, a guy like Paul Pogba, if you want to go to Juventus, those two guys are who I'm really talking about. Modric is an underrated passer, by the way. Mm-hmm. He can't shoot very well, but he's an underrated passer.
Oh, what about this bicycle kick goal that he had over the break.
All right. It existed.
He dared, he dared to slap on and survived.
Yeah, show me a second one. John McCall scores for Nigeria, okay? It doesn't necessarily happen when there's, you know, a lot of good players on the pitch at the same time.
Okay.
But those are the types of players that I like to start a franchise with. But if you have to – if there was a gun to my head, if I had to pick Harry Kane or Sterling, I'd have to say Harry Kane. And the reason why is because he can create a goal himself, or he can actually make the runs to have other suppliers get him a goal. I don't see how Sterling can get a goal that's not made by him.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Especially if you're going to play him as a central forward, you really want him to be able to do both.
Yeah.
As an attacking midfielder, sure, you can have him, you know, make goals for himself and provide goals for others. You know, he can do that.
But I'm not even necessarily saying to play in a central striker role. I'm just saying if you...
Well, I just think it's unfair then to say, hey, would you rather have an attacking midfielder or a striker?
Doesn't that play right into your... It's just the opposite. It should play right in because you were saying you want what's very important to you is being able to control the middle of the park. So once you have control...
The middle of the park.
Once you have control of the middle of the park, who do you want to attack? Do you want to start next with your striker, or do you want an attacking midfielder who thinks he can play striker?
I'd probably want a more traditional center forward.
Okay,
that's just me. He's not Lionel Messi. He's just not.
Who's not?
Sterling. Hmm. I mean, if you told me that he was going to be the next Lionel Messi, that's different. I just don't think that's a special talent that does not come around so often. I think there's one in a generation.
And you think Harry Kane is that guy?
No, but Harry Kane. But what I mean is, if I'm going to take an attacking midfielder that early to start a franchise, it'd have to be of similar ilk to Messi, because it's so dominant. It's so dominating.
Yeah.
I mean, most attacking midfielders are replaceable. You know, if we're going to try and do like a metric for it, like a war, I don't think that if you had a war for Harry Kane versus Raheem Sterling, I think Harry Kane's would be a higher number. I think he's worth more wins above replacement.
Okay.
Because the supply is less.
Yep. That's fair.
Where were we?
We were
at Burnley Tottenham score Tottenham. Prediction. So you said 3-2. I'm gonna say 2-1. The traditional score 2-1 Tottenham, and I do think that Harry Kane gets at least one, possibly two. And I'm just gonna say Danny Ings for Burnley. Why not? On a cross from Kieran Trippier.
There you go.
Double. Why not?
There you go.
All right. We'll move on here to the Northeast Derby game. It is the battle of Newcastle and Sunderland. I know that there's a name for it. Could you please?
Tyneside.
Thank you. Tyneside Derby. I appreciate it. The name escaped me for a second, but Sunderland are at home. Sunderland, who I've predicted to get relegated, they really need 3 points against Newcastle, who really couldn't care less. they are without every major piece that they have, and Sunderland really need this game, and I do think that they are going to do their best to keep a clean sheet here as well, which is why I ranked Kostel Pantilimon fifth this week. It's kind of a dart, but I do think there's a lot of value to be had in Pantilimon because, A, not a lot of people are going to play him, and, B, there's a lot of opportunity. I love opportunity and volatility. So with that in mind, Pantilimon is my fantasy focus guy for this game. How do you think this game plays out in traditionally what's been a rivalry where anything goes? Especially red cards.
Yeah, I hate both of these teams so much fantasy wise. And
well, would you say that about Poppy Cisse if he was playing?
No, but he's not, so okay. I won't even consider him. But I'm looking at Sunderland's last three home games. They lost 2-0 to QPR. They had a scoreless draw with West Brom, and they lost 4-0 to Aston Villa. And so I'm not confident that they're going to be able to do anything, really. In fact, let me see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They have one goal in their last five games. So I have no faith that they're going to be able to break out in a big way, even though Newcastle isn't even that good. I would probably play more Newcastle guys than I would Sunderland.
Oh, interesting.
I think you could make the case for somebody.
Which, you rank Janmaat pretty highly, right?
I might have. Yes, I did. Mostly because I'm not sure where the offense comes from for Sunderland. You can say Jermaine Defoe and Connor Wickham as much as you want, but they're just not scoring right now.
Jermaine Defoe always seems to find a way to score a goal in a big game.
I guess. So why haven't the last ones been big? There's nothing.
Sunderland can, let's say, if Sunderland managed to finish in 17th, which would be the last place before relegation. However, they beat Newcastle, how did they do in the reverse fixture? Can you look that up real fast? If Sunderland can take, let's say, 4 points out of the six available in the Tyneside Derby and finish in 18th, they'd consider that a successful season.
I just don't see any reason to think that they can do it. Sunderland won 1-0.
Oh, so they'd be taking all 6 points
to an Adam Johnson late winner.
Well, he won't be playing.
But he's back.
Oh, of course. Why would they not take a moral stand there?
That's right.
But
new manager, new regime. Yeah, new I ranked Janmaat very high. You ranked Remy Cabella, who is probably the only guy from this game that got ranked by you. So
I ranked Pantilimon.
But
I didn't rank Cabella that highly.
No, not at all. But you ranked him, and you didn't rank anybody from Sunderland other than Pantilimon.
It's true. So, that's because there were a lot of good strikers. I found myself really struggling for the last few spots for striker because I think there's a lot of good matchups this week.
I'll agree with you on that one, but I...
So Defoe was one of them, by the way.
Yeah,
he wasn't number 16 by any means, but he was in the thought process.
There are 15 that I ranked ahead of Defoe, and there were probably a few more that I would consider before him. So I because of that, I just don't see enough goals in this one. So I think it could be just 1-0 Newcastle. Just like
I have 1-0 Sunderland.
Yeah.
So
from who though?
Defoe.
Yeah.
I mean, for all we know, it could be like Patrick Van Aanholt.
Yeah, I think we both know it's not, but sure.
No, it's not. But it could be something crazy. This is a game where crazy things happen.
Yep.
You know what? Hold on. Even better. Own goal.
Yeah.
On a Newcastle own goal.
Right.
All right. But that's enough of the Tyneside Derby. It's a fun game to watch. It's not a fun game to try to predict, and it's not a fun game for fantasy.
No.
But it's definitely a good real-life watch on Sunday if you're waking up from a late Saturday night. Enjoy a Newcastle and watch Newcastle at 11 a.m. So we'll move on here to Monday, April 6th. We have Crystal Palace at home against Manchester City. For daily format, you're probably not going to get this game in, but for the weekly format and for a season-long format, these definitely count.
I think they do count this one in the Sunday game.
That's dangerous then to try to pick Monday for starters.
Yep.
So the element of risk there if you're actually doing that. Yeah, exactly. But Crystal Palace at home against Manchester City.
It should be fun, right?
Which is going to be a real fun game to watch. However, the question I want to pose to you, let's say if you had to pick three midfielders from each team. So let's say if it was Jason Puncheon, Yannick Bolasie, and Wilfried Zaha from Crystal Palace, mm-hmm. and it would be David Silva, Yaya Toure, and Samir Nasri, even though he hasn't been playing much consistently recently.
Mm-hmm.
Which threesome would you prefer? Both to have in real life and in fantasy?
For this game?
Not necessarily for this game, but let's say for like a season long. Like next season.
Yeah. I think for season long, I would still go with Man City's just because Silva's upside is so much greater than anybody else's, in my opinion.
Even Zaha's?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we're going to see Zaha score double-digit goals that soon.
Okay.
And Silva's doing it now. Obviously, Silva doesn't have a track record of that.
Well, so yeah, Yaya Silva's Toure scoring does. Scores, every 180 minutes, so 0.5 goals per 90. Yeah.
I think the upside of Silva and Yaya Toure is higher than even the trio of the other guys. Mm. That as much as we like to say how much we like them, they're still not scoring that many goals. I mean, Yaya Toure had 20 last year. There's no way any of those Crystal Palace guys are getting, they're probably not even getting 15, and 10 might be tough. So
I'm overreacting to the recent success of Crystal Palace's midfield.
What's that?
Am I overreacting to the recent success of the Crystal Palace midfield?
I just think we are giving that those three guys a little too much credit when we have when it's Dwight Gayle and Glenn Murray who are scoring goals. And while these guys are setting them up, you know, you get more points for goals. And so Silva and Yaya Toure, I think, have the ability to score more goals than the assists the other guys can rack up.
Fair. Very fair. Now let's get to the game itself here. This is going to be a real fun one to watch. I'm not sure if there'll be a ton of goals. I think there will be, but it's not a strong conviction. Both these teams can score on you in an instant.
Yeah.
And I would love to see Crystal Palace at home really take it to Manchester City. What do you think?
I agree. I think they have no reason not to just attack the hell out of them. Man City have had some interesting issues in the back. And so I think they're, you know, we've seen them give up goals to, you know, they got beat for two by Burnley at home. And some crazy things can happen when you play at Crystal Palace. So I agree. I think this could definitely have a multi-goal on both sides.
And let me tell you, that stadium is going to be loud. Mm-hmm. That is, it translates so well on television.
Yeah, it does.
So that Monday afternoon, if you're at home, if you DVR it, it's really a fun one to watch, and I really do recommend checking that game out as well as a couple of others this weekend.
This is headed for a scoreless draw now that we've built it up so much.
So I'm going to say 2-2 as a draw.
Mm. I think that's fair. I'd love to see a 3-2, see Palace take it, but I don't think they will.
Yeah, I'm going to say Bolasie with a rare goal.
Whoa.
Very
speaking of passing
goal
into the back of the net.
And Breda Heingeland on a header for a defender.
My God, you're serious.
And then for Manchester City, I am going to say, let's say Aguero gets off his schneid, and then a Yaya Toure goal.
Ooh. How about that?
And what about you? What's your score prediction here?
I think you're right on the 2-2. I'll take Aguero and Wilfried Bony. And then on the Palace side, I'll take Murray and Jason Puncheon.
All right. Much more likely candidates. Now, for the Manchester City side, you brought up Wilfried Bony. Do you think he starts every game the rest of the way out to see what they have?
Yeah, I think they do. I think
Has there been any news or anything said in press conferences to hint at that? Or?
No, I think they just...
Or are they going to play Dzeko to make sure that they get the most out of him if they transfer him out in the offseason?
I'm not sure anything he does now is going to increase his value significantly. So it's almost like they might as well just keep him healthy. I think they paid enough for Bony that they need to do it. I think Jovetic is one who might need to play a little more to get his price up because he's definitely gone.
Yeah, but Jovetic, they can play further back. They can play him as a wide man. So if they do, that'd be to the detriment of like Samir Nasri.
Yep, who's pretty much done.
Yeah, he's there. Yeah, I think so too. All right, but we got one more game. It's Tuesday. It is Aston Villa and QPR. Is this one
at Loftus Road?
At Loftus Road. So QPR is at home here. Lots and lots of potential gold here.
Yep.
So I'll let you take it away first.
Yeah, I think both teams, you know, unfortunately, we're kind of previewing this without knowing what happens on Saturday with these two teams. But, you know, we don't think that they're going to beat Manchester United and West Brom. So they're going to need 3 points, and I think it's going to be pretty wide open. Neither team likes to play defense anyway, so I think they're going to try to outscore each other. I think this could be a surprisingly fun game. Just because I think there'll be goals. I think Benteke is going to be attacking, you know, Egbon Lahore, Charlie, everybody that we've said already. I would go all in. I'd stay away from the goalkeepers.
Yeah, I would. If I were to choose a goalkeeper, I would go with Guzan because I think there'll be saves to be had as well. But I don't think there's going to be as many goals, but I do think there'll be, I think it's going to be 1-1, a goal for each side. So I'll take Benteke, and I will take Charlie Austin.
Yeah, I'm not sure you could. I mean, from the QPR side, I'm not sure you could really pick anybody other than Austin.
Bobby Zamora.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure anybody's going there, and I'm not sure you can say you see another Matt Phillips 40-yarder.
That was amazing.
I still watch it. It's such a great goal.
The you can see the brand name of the ball the entire way.
It's great, just great. But I think we'll actually see a few more goals. I think this could be even 2-2, just because both of these teams like to run and score. So if you can't defend, you're going to give some up. But if you can score, you'll do it. So I'll take 2-2. Why not?
And anyone particularly, anyone that I didn't mention, you think will score?
No.
All right. So just Benteke or Phillips. No Agbonlahor love, even though he's been playing well recently.
Actually, yeah, I would give one to Agbonlahor. Certainly ahead of Scott Sinclair. I think we, and I hate saying it because I got sucked in too, but I think we may be overrating him a little bit for fantasy purposes. Sinclair.
Yeah, well, he's a midfielder that can play forward.
Right. And
actually, he was raised as a forward.
Yeah,
so
that's great, but I'd like to see him score a goal or assist on one.
All right, maybe. I might be asking a little too much. All right, but let's go to our daily dose here. We have our DraftKings game here. So we entered the early edition. So that does include the Arsenal and Liverpool game, because what fun would it be without two of the best teams, right?
I actually have both, so we can talk however we want.
No, we'll just do the early one.
Okay.
So, because that's all I did, so that's right. What we'll talk about. All right, so at goal, I have Boaz Myhill, who is rated at 5,000. Who do you have at goal?
Fabianski at 5,300.
Yeah, so I debated that as well. I actually also debated at 4,300, I believe, is
Kelvin Davis.
I did
too. Yep.
Yeah.
He's a 43.
So, yeah, I very much debated Kelvin Davis there as well at 4,300. So definitely not a bad thing. Those three guys were the ones I were looking at. I was looking at, excuse me. So definitely no shame there. And I was going to look at Ponteleman, but then I realized he plays on Sunday. So that won't work out. But at defense, who are your two defenders?
I had to go a little cheap on one. Not that cheap, but I took Gary Cahill at 3,700 because there weren't so many guys in that price range that throw in.
You better hope Zuma doesn't start.
Yeah, well, I could probably.
Well, actually, you could probably shift to Zuma at less money.
Zuma's he's actually at 3,800, so and I have no salary left, so that would actually screw me quite well. Terry's at 38 too. Oh, that's definitely going to happen. Oh well. But anyway, I had Cahill for a clean sheet because I don't think Stoke gets anything going at Stamford Bridge, and then I threw a 4,300 towards Nathaniel Klein.
All right, so we're 3 for 3 on different players here.
All right.
So I have Julian Lescott at 2,800 because that's a bargain. And I have Aaron Cresswell at 4,900 because I think there's both offensive and defensive potential for him for West Ham playing against Leicester, as we talked about earlier. So I doubled up Myhill and Lescott for West Brom and a West Ham defender as well. Even though I don't like taking defenders on the road, I'm going to do it because Cresswell may actually get an assist as well. There's an added potential. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'll go to my midfielders. You know one of my midfielders. I've talked about taking him the entire time. Marouane Fellaini at home against Aston Villa for Manchester United at 5,400 because that's very inexpensive for a midfielder, which allowed me to then spend the 9,500 for Eden Hazard.
Wow. I also went with Fellaini just because you have
price
to.
Price is too good.
Yep. And then I spent 4,000 on Matt Phillips, hoping that he sends in all of the crosses to get me.
Yeah, I can imagine that's very valuable on the DraftKings format.
Yep. Happily take it.
Yeah, that makes me a little jealous, actually. I might steal that because he's so inexpensive. So I'm assuming your forwards and your flex are going to be three forwards, first of all, and that you went with some good ones.
Looking at this, since I set this up about a week ago, whenever the game opened, I clearly need to make a change because I currently have Sturridge in there at 7,300, which...
He's not the best in the business for nothing, guys.
Well, so I'm not sure what I'm going to have to do there because I paired him with the double 10 grand of Olivier Giroud and Wayne Rooney. And
that's a lot of money.
Yeah, and so if I the problem with the Sturge 7300 is that the only player that the only forward that I would really consider in that range is the equally 7300 for Benteke, who I don't love at Man United. I would take him for the Monday game, which obviously doesn't qualify. But you can take Diafra Sakho is $100 more, which, like I said previously, my remaining salary is zero. So in order to get Sakho, I would have to replace Giroud or Rooney with Alexis Sanchez, who's at 99. That would give me my extra $100. Or I go with a midfielder like Fabregas or Stuart Downing. Downing one is I would definitely consider because I think.
So you were talking about Enner Valencia earlier.
I was going to say an Enner Valencia is at 7,000, who is another one I would definitely consider.
And what about Dominic Njoy at 6,500?
I would not take him just because I had Fabianski.
Oh, that's true.
So I'll stay away from that one. My guess is I'll probably go with Downing and he'll do nothing.
That is typically what he does when we pick him.
Yeah, we'll see.
Any chance you think that Radamel Falcao plays this week by any chance?
No. Certainly doesn't. I don't think he starts. No way.
All right.
I'm not sure who they
but
dropped.
If you find out that Loic Remy is starting at 7,000, that seems like it's a good value.
Yeah, I would take that. The thing that always gets me about Remy is that
let me get to my forwards real fast.
Sure.
So I also have Olivier Giroud at 10 because he's by far the best forward going. Actually, he's averaged more points per game over the last 5 weeks than Harry Kane,
yeah,
including
he's
the hat trick.
Absolutely awesome.
So it's consistent too. It's not like he gets three and then zero.
Yep. I'm looking at his little last 5 games in DraftKings points. 17, 17, 22, 21, 27. I mean, there's a reason I'm surprised he's only 10,000.
Yeah, isn't that the max? Oh, no, 10-4 for Costa. Yeah. All right, I have Olivier Giroud. I have Diafra Sakho, who you just talked about, 7,400. And I'm taking Shane Long.
Yeah.
Because he's 4,900.
Yep.
That's very inexpensive for a forward who I feel is going to start.
Yep.
And it has a good matchup because even though it's at Everton, it's Everton.
Yeah, I have Long in a Saturday non-early lineup because of that price. There's, you know, that's too good of a price against a defense that stinks.
The only problem is if he doesn't play.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That is certainly a problem. And then if that does happen, I mean, you're really stuck in a lurch because – I mean, you're going to have to hope Abel Hernandez starts because he's at 4,700. Yeah. So you can go that route. Andy Vyman, if he starts for Aston Villa. I mean, there's really not a lot of people down here. You're going to probably have to make them your flex.
Yep.
And then if you go that route, at least you at 5,000, it adds in Victor Wanyama, who's a defensive midfielder, Jordan Ibe, who might play. Doubtful.
I think he's back, yeah.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, I don't think he's playing either. And it's just. I mean, Antonio Valencia is interesting because he crosses, but there's really Jordan Henderson at 4,800 is probably where I'd go.
Yep.
Even though
that's
he's
exactly
a defensive, but he's more of a defensive midfielder.
Yeah, but you'd probably still go that way. I'm looking at the non-early game because Henderson isn't in the regular Saturday game.
That's right. But there's definitely some interesting options.
Yeah.
Same as Coleman at 4,700 if you want to go with the defender in the flex, which is rarely ever done.
Right. A defender against the team that you think Shane Long will score for.
Correct. Very unorthodox.
Yeah.
Anyway. But, you know, it's a really interesting week this week. I think there's a lot of good matchups to take advantage of and some really interesting storylines. And you have the one derby game, the Tyneside derby. And to open the weekend, you have Liverpool and Arsenal, your team. So overall, a really good week, and I hope everyone enjoys it, because on that note, we are going to end this episode of the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. Catch us again next week. We'll have some more of the same stuff, but better, because we're 1 week better at it. We just keep nailing it every single week. I just can't understand how this podcast isn't winning every award possible.
We're the Harry Kane of podcasts?
Absolutely. Our rise is undeniable. And we will score 79 seconds in our English debut if we ever get one. All right.
Most likely we will not be getting an English debut.
Well, there's always hope. But I'll catch you again next week. Hopefully the weather warms up even more. All right, talk to you next week.
Later.
For more great content, go to rotowire.com/soccer. It's all free and it's all for you.